Hello and welcome back to another episode of Talking Insights. We're wrapping up our May mini-series on synthetic data and artificial intelligence in market research, a theme that has been generating big conversation across the industry. As we continue exploring the future of research through the lens of AI innovation, we're bringing you one more rerun featuring Nikki Levine. In this episode, Nikki dives even deeper into how AI is reshaping the research landscape, not just in terms of technology, but also in the way of we think creativity, human intuition, and decision-making. Again, as last week, this episode was recorded a while back, but it's still very relevant today as we continue to grapple into what AI and this revolution is all about. So I hope while revisiting this powerful discussion, you can learn something new or just think something in a different way. So stick around, it's a great episode.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone listening or watching from wherever you're joining us from. I'm Nikki Lavoie, EVP of Innovation and Strategy at Savanta and host of the AI series podcast episodes that you can listen to as part of Talking Insights. Talking Insights is the podcast where we dive deep into the world of market research, insights, and analytics, and is brought to you by SMR. Today, I'm very excited to bring you an episode focused on understanding the foundations of AI. And I have with me a very esteemed guest, Dharmendra Jain, also known as DJ. So DJ, could you kick things off by telling the listeners and viewers a little bit about yourself, your career, and how you've come to know so much about AI?
Sure. So first of all, thank you very much, Nikki. It's my pleasure to be here, and I'm really looking forward for this exciting conversation, given this is all about AI, and I can't hide my enthusiasm about that. So, hello everyone. My name is Dharmendra Jain, also known as DJ in the world of market research. I live in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, and I've been in market research for more than 20 years. But last 17 to 18 years with Kantar and until last month. And now I am busy putting my thoughts together how I can really bring AI and market research together to cater some of the needs, emerging needs to market research. So yeah, you can say I'm someone who is traditional a market researcher plus ops guy, data guy, and now AI guy who wants to bring something cool. So thank you very much, Nikki, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation.
Fantastic. So as I said, this episode is really focused on helping market research and insights professionals understand the foundations of AI. So with that in mind, to kick things off for our first question, obviously, many people in our industry are going to be familiar with traditional statistical methods and other tools used in market research. Could you, DJ, explain what AI is in simple terms, especially in the context of market research, and how it might differentiate from some of the traditional methods we've been using?
Sure. So AI, artificial intelligence, very simply put, machine mimicking human kind of things or tasks, right? And that's a very simple way to put it. And AI is something has been there for many, many years, right? As part of computer science discipline. And it was a lot in many years back. We saw AI is more about, you know, robots and doing some kind of, you know, machine doing things. But of late, AI has become kind of newfound reality, which is all about, you know, bringing to our day-to-day task, life, and everything what we do. And that is possible because of, thanks to low-cost storage, high computing powers, right? Open source technologies like Python and cloud and everything coming together. I think the mix of everything is really making AI is a reality which we are seeing. So just to answer again your question, AI is machines which are trained to do certain tasks for you based on what input data or / training data you provide. You teach them to behave in certain manner and they do the task after training. So I hope that's a very simple version of putting that. There's a lot on that, but I hope that is, that's okay.
So DJ, based on all of your prolific knowledge of AI, which I'm so excited to share with our listeners and viewers today, can you tell us a little bit about how you think AI is going to impact market research and insights professionals?
Sure, Nikki. So AI, as I said before, it was there in not in a very, I would say, popular terms. It was always there in market research, but it used to call advanced analytics, right? We were doing all sort of modeling and all that. I think the way now AI is, the power of AI is available, AI and / generative AI, it is going to really transform market research process, right? Market research, I would say, in two sides. One is offer side and the process side. In offer side, which means how client is going to receive market research, going to be different. For example, generative AI is going to really transform how we take care of, or rather how we provide solution for customer experience, because there is a lot of interactivity is going to come from generative AI, right? Computer vision is another pillar of AI is going to transform how we really analyze videos or copy test, edit test, and things like that, right? Text analytics is already making an impact when research agencies offering qualitative services, as well as social media analytics and things like that. So it's already there, but I believe it is going to transform with a lot of speed in coming days. Process side, it was about how we can use text analytics for open-ends processing, language solutions, and even generative AI is going to come, even process side or operation side, where it is going to help you generating script for questionnaire and processing data fast and helping in new creative designs or product test or concept test. So I think a lot are going to come from AI to market research.
Yeah. So can we talk a little bit about the role of data in terms of AI? So as you were explaining a bit about the impact of AI in market research, but also in explaining the differences between predictive AI and generative AI, you talked a lot about the inputs and the data that come in to train those models and that impact what comes out. So in your opinion, what is the impact of, or how does the quality and quantity of data impact the effectiveness of AI? And are there any sort of best practices that you can already kind of help us keep an eye on with this in mind?
Absolutely. So very simply put, AI is all about what you feed into it, which is input, and what you get out of it, right? And input, the quality of input will determine the quality of output. So data is very, very, data quality is paramount when we talk about AI models, algorithm, right? So ensuring that data quality is great is going to be very, very important. Only algorithm will not do the job. And when we define quality of data, it is all about ensuring that your data is fully representative of the universe, whatever you are trying to do. It should not be like taken with a very small sample from one place. And now you are developing your algorithm or AI and you are deploying other places, right? For example, very good example, a lot of in recent time, you must have heard that some of the famous AI models or algorithms have been trained on US data, you know, but US data has got characteristics of what is US population is all about, people, you know, their demographics and things like that. But then if you train your model on US data, and now you are trying to deploy the same solution say, for example, in Asia, Africa, or the UK, it is not going to give you very accurate output result. It will have the bias coming from what it has been trained on. So what I'm trying to say, the data representative, representation of the universe or population, or depending on what we are doing with, is very important to ensure in data, right? Secondly, you know, AI models are trained on labeled data. What they call is basically the labeling, the input data is labeled with their outcome. And that labeling has to be done correctly. And if it, if somebody has not defined input correctly, it is not going to give correct output. Similarly, it has to be sourced legally. There should not be personal data and things like that. So yeah, in my view, it is very, very important.
So can I throw you a little curveball question?
Please.
that just popped up into my mind as I was listening to you talk. You know, thinking about how important data quality and quantity is to using AI successfully in market research, how would you say that's different than the way we are operating sort of outside of AI? Because, you know, around the industry, we've always said garbage in, garbage out. Data quality is the number one most important thing. So do you feel like it's now even more important because of the way AI functions? Do you think it's a similar level of importance? What's your view on that?
I think it is more important than ever. It is far more, because now the implications is far and wide and severe. Because earlier, if you look at the traditional research landscape, we are always working on one project or another project. Perhaps that project is for one client, or you know, two clients or multi-country, but the scope is not as wide as AI is bringing. So if you do not really ensure your data quality is good, as actually you don't know how this is going to end and who is going to use it. And it might have severe implication. Somebody, people like, you know, normal people using AI, because they don't know the technical side of it, they want to believe if it is coming from AI, it is going to be okay. But that's not right. So it is also not just quality, but responsibility of the people who are, you know, developing these models, or, you know, companies who are bringing this, very much important, I would say. And I think it will relate with the whole discussion around ethics in AI and the laws and things like. So it's pretty much close to what we are already talking in this space.
Yeah. So one other kind of impromptu question for you is, you know, thinking again about how important this all is because of the scope, as you mentioned, would you say then that in order to be sure of the data quality, the only way you can be sure is by using your own models? Because obviously we are seeing a lot of discussion now about, you know, there's all sorts of things coming out. Copilot can sort of help you tap into multiple of your own data sets, or if you're working agency side, it could be tapping into multiple client data sets where maybe different agencies source that data and you still can't necessarily have any level of control over that data because it's already been collected. So what, you know, how can we execute that level of control when the scope is so big?
Yeah, so the good thing is now these models, some of these models are available as a pre-trained model, okay? Which means they have been developed, trained on vast data, and now performing its task, which can be used by enterprises, businesses, individuals, by only the model whereby you can supply your own data. Now, when you're supplying your own data, you are not sharing your data with, let's say, OpenAI or any other person who has developed these models. You are sure about data confidentiality. Also, you own the quality of your data, right? And therefore, you have reduced the scope of the usage, and you know you are completely in charge of this particular, you know, application, how this is. So in that way, yes, why not? And that is where it is going to come. It is not going to stop, I believe. Only thing where the models are in general public use and a very much generic sort of task or duties they're doing, that's where we need a lot of regulation framework and things like this. So general public can be advised, you know, what are the pitfalls, what are the, you know, the risk, or what are the do's and don'ts of this particular application?
So with all of this in mind, and this is just, I feel, a tip of the iceberg. So you've now given us a lot of information to digest. So to help us understand, how does AI work? What are the differences in the ways that AI produces information back with us? How does it interact with our data and our input? Really great stuff to think about. But I would love to have your perspective on the future. Always a tough question to answer, so I don't envy you, but how do you personally see AI evolving within the realm of market research? And if there's any emerging technologies or methodologies that you are excited about or you think we should keep an eye on, I'd love to hear about that.
Sure, Nikki. So as I said, it's not going to be a choice for us. It is going to come already here. And all market research, I would say, whether it's a big players or small players, they all are going to embrace AI in some shape and form, depending on, you know, how big they are and how big the clientele and what kind of problems they are solving. I believe future of MR market research is collective, where you have artificial intelligence and human intelligence, given that we are in the business of understanding human, right? Human behavior, consumers, and everything. So I don't think the human side is going to go away. But this, as a fantastic technology and tools, is going to really redefine the way we do research. I think generative AI is really bringing a lot of promise to us as industry, right? People are already deploying this, as I said, in both offer side and the process side. Currently, what I am seeing, it is more towards the operation side, right? For example, how we can use generative AI for creating new concepts, new content, new media setup ideas, and more towards like how I can create better report writing, context, design side of it. Text processing is also really happening a lot because we have open ends and we can do very good analysis using generative AI. So I think AI is going to come in many shape and forms, not only just text, images, and videos also. I think there's another bit which is interesting emerging for market researchers, use of synthetic data. Now, this debate is quite interesting and fascinating for me. Myself is really wondering about if synthetic data is available, then will there be any future for market research? Because then everything you can do using AI and synthetic data, do you really need to go and conduct market survey? And it is a big question, right? Answer is that if you have technique, if you have this possibility, yes, you can do everything. You don't have to go back to consumer or people like us to ask question. But I think that is not going to happen because you will always have human sort of inputs because we as human evolving every single day, as consumers, our preferences are changing, our likings are changing, different, you know, dynamics in terms of brands, what is available products, they are all are very dynamic. So if you train your data and you have synthetic, then it will be, in my view, it will not be that profound as it is right now. What I can see that if you want to use synthetic data for selective applications or selective sectors, where you think that conducting primary research is very expensive or not possible, then yes, maybe. Okay, and it has been used in those kind of industry before, so it is not new in that way. But I think for us in the mainstream market research, consumer research, it is going to be, I don't think it's going to find a huge place. So synthetic data is something to watch for, how it is evolving, but up to what extent we can really use it, you know, or where we can restrict ourselves. Another thing which is in future of research, we are talking about a real-time insight, right? Agile research. And those things are really possible by using some of these AI applications. And I do think in future, you will see a huge component of AI in market research practices. So yeah, I'm excited with those kind of possibilities, human plus artificial intelligence. intelligence, AI. Future is
fantastic. Good. Well, that is all very exciting stuff. Just a small aside on synthetic users. Synthetic data, I sort of think of it almost like the toothbrush and a dentist. So when the toothbrush was invented, we didn't stop needing to go to the dentist. We still have to go to the dentist, and actually quite regularly, in order to do things. So synthetic data might be able to cover a lot of things, but there's always going to be certain things, certain places it can't reach, or certain questions it can't answer. So that's how I'm thinking of it at present, but maybe something will change my mind.
Absolutely. We have to remain curious about the future, right? So yeah, looking forward.
Exactly.
But for me, it's sounding quite exciting.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, DJ, for joining me today. It was so great chatting with you and hearing about your thoughts and experiences on across all of these different aspects of AI. Thank you to everyone who has been watching or listening to this episode. Stay tuned for more episodes from Talking Insights and from this AI series. See you later.
Thank you very much, Nikki, for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
And that brings us to the end of our May miniseries on synthetic data and artificial intelligence. We hope these conversations, both new and revisited, have sparked some fresh thinking around how technology is shaping the future of insights. A huge thanks to Scott, to Kyle, and of course to Nikki for your great insights and the way that you think about synthetic data and AI in general. I hope you enjoyed the series, and please don't forget to subscribe, share, and join the conversation online. We'll be back next week, and this time we're going to Asia to preview the next events of SMR. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.